Dear students, hello. This is the last exercise class, and we're going to see, as usually, the solution to the previous exercise sheet, which was again partly on Lax-Milgram theorem, partly on Poincaré inequality, because I mean you used it, so it's also good that you know how to prove it, at least one of the two, the one with the zero boundary value, and in particular how to find the somehow sharp constant to some extent, and then the last exercise instead concerned some general properties of compact operators, which then are related to the study of existence and uniqueness of weak solutions for elliptic PDEs, in that this result directly implies the so-called freedom alternative. But let's go in with order. So first of all, there is the usual definition of Sobolev spaces, WKP, WKP0, all standard, Poincaré inequality. So we define the second order linear differential operators on our open set U that we're going to use as L of U, defined formally as minus the sum of I and J from 1 to N, Aij uxi, all derived with respect to xj, plus the sum over I from 1 to N bi uxi plus cu, where the coefficients are in general infinity. Okay, of course this definition is only formal, because here I'm taking derivatives of functions that a priori are not differentiable. The point is that while this would make sense if say aij would be c1 and u would be c2, in the classical setting, in the weak sense we can make this meaningful by not considering it pointwise, but seeing this as the weak derivative, where at least this term interpreting this term here as a weak derivation, and therefore considering not LU but the integration of LU against some function V. And then, by using the definition of weak derivatives, one can move the derivative in xj over the test function v and get an associated bilinear map, which is associated to this second-order differential operator. In addition, we assume, this is the general form of a second-order differential operator, period. Then we assume that the aij are symmetric, that is, aij is equal to aji, and they are uniform elliptic, which means that the sum over I and j from 1 to n of aij x, xi I, xi j, is larger equal than some theta positive norm of xi squared for almost every x in U and all xi in Rn. In other words, if we consider the matrix whose components are the functions aij of x for I and j in 1n, then this is a symmetric matrix which is positive defined. That's what it means, the uniform ellipticity condition. And that's why these kind of operators are also called elliptic, because if you remember a course in geometry, the elliptic quadrics, the figures described in the space by second order polynomials, are indeed elliptic if the matrix associated to the coefficients of the second order terms is positive defined. That is this condition here. Well, okay, now let's recall also Lax-Milgram theorem, because it's fundamental for the first two exercises. So if H is an Hilbert space and B from H times H into R is a continuous coercive bilinear map, that is, there exists constant C and K such that the absolute value of B of UV is controlled by C, the H norm of U, the H norm of V, for U and V in H, and B of UU is larger or equal than small k, the H norm of U squared, for all U in H. If then L from H into R is a continuous linear functional, then there exists a unique U in H such that B of UV is equal to L of V, for all V in H. Exercise 1. You take U to be an open-bounded set. B is a bilinear form over H10 times H10 into R associated to the linear to the partial differential operator L given by formula we saw before, where the first order terms are all zero. The coefficients of the first order terms, the first order derivatives, are all zero. So basically there is only aij and c. And of course it's elliptic. Prove that there exists a constant mu zero positive, that you have to find, such that B satisfies Lax-Milgram theorem if for all mu in 0 mu 0 we have that basically the function C of X has a lower bound for almost every X given by minus mu. And so now the continuity, so here is again the text, the continuity, so we have our form BUV is of course the integral over U of the sum over I and J of Aij Uxi Vxj plus C UV. Now the continuity is trivially implied by Schwarz inequality. We take out, we bring the absolute value inside and we take out the maximum between the L infinity norm of the Aij in the first term and the L infinity norm of C in the second term. Then we have this double sum, this product of sums. Then we use, but here in the second term, we simply use Cauchy-Schwarz to make appear the L2 norm of U times the L2 norm of V, and that's simple. Here instead, we use the fact the sum of Uxj, the absolute value of Uxj, is controlled by square root of n, square root of the sum of the absolute value of Uxj squared, which is the norm of the U, and the same for Vxj. So in the end, one gets a factor n, integral of absolute value of the u against, sorry, norm of the u against norm of the v, Cauchy-Schwarz, and we are done. Take a constant, which is the sum of the constant, and you get the h1. The coercivity. Notice that b of uu is the sum over I and j, aij, uxi, uxj, plus c u squared. Well, in the first term, you use the ellipticity, so you get the theta, integral over u, of norm of the u squared in the x. The second term used the fact that c, in the worst possible case, is minus mu. Okay? For almost every x in u. But then, we have the integral over u of u squared, which is the L2 norm of u, but u is in h1 0, remember, and therefore we can use Poincaré inequality that tells us that the L2 norm of u is controlled from above by a constant times the L2 norm of the gradient, so that this becomes larger or equal than theta minus mu, the constant Poincaré constant squared, the L2 norm of the u squared. But then one again uses Poincaré to basically get that the L2 norm of the gradient squared, the L2 norm of the gradient controls from above the h1 norm up to dividing by a constant, which is c squared plus 1, where c is Poincaré constant, and so we get this lower bound. But now this lower bound will be giving us indeed the coercivity as long as theta the constant is positive, that is theta minus mu c squared is positive, which means mu should be less than theta over c squared. So what is the constant, the optimal constant mu zero that you can find? Theta over c squared. That's it.